Blog Talk Radio.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where those treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow, the snow. So then I am dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write. May your days, may your days be merry and bright. And may all your Christmases be white.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and the children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. Yeah, 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 I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write.
May those days, may your days, may your days be merry and bright. And may all your Christmas
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. Bartender, a champagne. I have a coupon. I used to do a bit. I love this country. Everything free. I have 9 social security numbers. I have house on Lake Munchkin. I pay for it with food stamp. $5 million. I love this country, everything free. You ever go to work in the morning and when you get your paycheck at the end of the week, you look at it and you see all the money that they took from you? And when you get sick and you're laid up in bed, is there a congressman that sits by your bedside and hopes you get better so you can get back into the tax running wheel? Yeah. It's sad, man. They take care of themselves, though. Ooh, they stand in the bread line and ask for toast. So, our topic tonight is Trump will lose 10% of the rhinos. You can see them already, the weekly stand down, the national repuke, all of the Fox flunkies. And last night, O'Reilly has a little ninja that he uses to commit atrocities that don't reflect on O'Reilly. He's got Bernie Goldberg. You ever see Bernie Goldberg? He's an NBC mole. He's a double agent. And O'Reilly used him last night to destroy Trump. But, you know, it's really sad to watch these ambushites trying to take down Trump. And it's like that old Bela Lugosi slogan, they tried to hang me, but they only broke my neck. Yeah, Trump comes back. He gets bigger and stronger. It's like the thing, you know. You know, the more you attack it, the bigger it gets. It's unbelievable. Godzilla Trump. Godzilla Trump. It's unbelievable, man. So, my prediction is he's going to lose 10% of the rhino rats. But here's the surprise kicker. He's very quietly and nonchalantly calling no attention to the people that are going to come over to his side because they don't want Hillary to know they're doing it. He's going to pick up 25% of the Democrats and independents. You know why? Because he's not a rhino. He's not a Republican, really. He's an independent Trump. He's Mr. Trump. And he's a doer. And he doesn't beat around the bush. The scariest words once Trump is president that you will hear from President Trump as he walks the halls of the Congress and the House and the Senate and government buildings, the scariest words that you will hear are, "So what do you do here?" "Oh, I work for the EPA. I put the small business people out of business." "Oh, that's wonderful. Have you ever been a border guard?" "Oh, no, no, I don't even live near the border." "Oh, you do now?" "Yes." "Oh, no, you don't even have to go home. You can get on a truck because we need you right away." Yeah. Wouldn't that be wonderful, huh? One day we should get payback. Just one day, National Day, National Payback Day. Everybody goes to Washington and beats up a congressman. You know, like you see the, what Macedonian parliament, where they were putting on gas masks before the fight started. Yeah, they were throwing tear gas at each other in the Congress. So, I believe that Trump is going to pull a lot of disenchanted Democrats. You know, there are some generational Democrats. My family, traditionally, when they came here, they were Democrat. The Democrats catered to the Irish, and that's why you had mayors like O'Dwyer. And the one they loved the most was Jimmy Walker, who they used to say he was a crook, but he took care of everybody. You know, he didn't keep it all for himself. They liked Jimmy Walker. So, and when an Irishman came to this country, he didn't know who to turn to. And there was somebody waiting to say, "We'll take care of you. You just got to vote Democrat." And that's how that began. But when the Democrats started to go communists, a lot of Irish pulled out. And I saw a whole generation of Irish go a Republican. And I would say it started with Eisenhower. They came back maybe to vote for Kennedy, but then they went back for Nixon. They liked Goldwater. And they've been Republican ever since. If you're an Irish Catholic and you're in the Democrat Party, how do you justify child murder? 4,700 babies died today in America. And their body parts were sold for cash. Do you think that the blue eyes bring more money than the brown eyes? If anybody could stand by and go into a disassembly plant run by the Democrats called Chop Shops and watch what happens to little babies, I guarantee you by the end of the day, your stomach muscles will be all sore from throwing up. And you might even consider blowing your brains out. You don't know the horror. They'll show you the horror of concentration camps and what the Japanese did in North Korea. But they'll never show you what's going on in this country. The butchery. The barbarianism. I heard Bush calling the Al-Qaeda barbarians. So you want to see barbarians, go to a planned slaughterhood chop shop. You'll see barbarians. And you won't sleep too good that night. It is really sad to talk a woman into destroying her child. Do you know there's such a thing as weeping syndrome? They tell you that just before they extract the baby. You might experience, madam, Weeping syndrome. Oh, what's that, Doc? Well, from time to time, you'll just out of a clear blue sky, you get hysterical. Yeah. Yeah, and you may even get suicidal. It's called weeping syndrome. Look it up. So we got breaking news. Obama limits airstrikes on ISIS, but he increases the attacks on Baltimore. People are wondering, what's the biggest danger of ISIS? I say it's meeting them on the subway. Trump to Scarborough unfair. Putin is a leader. Putin just bought the art of the deal. Obama thinks Putin is a monk advising the Romanovs. Obama, weeks away from seizing guns, today's headline. He stays 1 minute after his time is up, everybody will turn their guns in person. And he ain't getting, we got 350 million guns that we know about. And if Obama wants to go and seize guns, he should start in the ghetto. You know what the ghetto is? It's a poor neighborhood that the Democrats sold drugs in. And then it was classified a ghetto. Unbelievable. So, will Putin's praise damage Trump? It didn't damage Obama bin Laden when Castro nominated him for president. Obama made the biggest drug deal in Cuban history. That deal has been in the works since the Clintons kidnapped Elian Gonzalez on Good Friday down in Miami. And the governor, his name was Jeb Bush, he laid low. And the, you know what the Miami Cuban said about Bush? He swallowed his tongue. He couldn't even defend them verbally. And he was governor. You want this wuss for president? Oh, come on, Putin. Will you stop bombing the Christians? Please? Yeah. We're in trouble, man. We're in trouble. And France declared today, a French judge declared today, that France has no real Frenchmen, that there's no such thing as a real Frenchman. Oh, man. Unbelievable. There used to be a saying, 6 million Frenchmen can't be wrong. But I can't tell you the origin of it. You could look it up, though. Okay. So, having said that, Obama made the biggest drug deal in the history of the drug world. He is cutting a huge drug deal with Castro. Oh, no, he's not. He's bringing in innocent refugees. All refugees are not innocent. Yeah. So, it's really sad. We're going to go from 1 out of 6 Americans is a junkie to 3 out of 6 when the Cuban gold arrives through the open borders and ports. And wait till you hear the advertisements for that one. Man, if you like Cuban cigars, wait till you get a Cuban weed. And I saw, you ever watch the drugs on, I think, National Geographic? 1 out of 6 of Puerto Ricans is a heroin addict. Did you know that? And the drugs are coming from Colombia. And I think they said they're coming from Costa Rica. No, Dominican Republic. Yes. So medics were going into the drug neighborhoods, and they had a young girl who looks like an old girl, and her legs were oozing sores, and she was a heroin addict. And then they went away and came back, and when they came back, she had her legs amputated. And these are all 1 out of 6 people. You know what they say in combat? One sniper prefers to wound one soldier, because it takes 4 soldiers to carry him back. So that takes 5 people off the battlefield. And if 1 out of 6 of Americans are heroin addicts, that's one-sixth of the population that cannot fight an army that's drug-free. So I'll give you a tune. Let's see if we can find a nice tune for you. And then we'll read some news. Mi Amore by the Flamingos.
Mi Amore. Take my lips and kiss them.
Take my love.
Take my hands and hold them. I am yours, my love, till the end of time. Take my arms, let them hold you.
Take my
eyes, let them show you.
Isn't that beautiful? That's a slow dance song. That's the kind of song, if you're at a house party, you take the light bulb out. It's a very mood, in the mood type of song, in the mood for love. There's no more love in the United States. Not if you're killing 4,700 kids a day. Not if you got a 50% divorce rate. Not when you take down the Ten Commandments and hide them so God can't see them. We're like we're in the Garden of Eden. Okay, we'll switch to politics. The richest members of Congress. Number one, Darrell Issa. He's estimated with a net worth of $355 million. He doesn't need that job. That job should go to somebody that could use it. You know what? If I have my way and I become president, every ambassador, you know how you become an ambassador? You got to pay off the party in power, and they make you an ambassador. You got to buy the ambassadorship. Every ambassador representing the United States instantly, within 24 hours, would be replaced by a vet in a wheelchair. So when that vet and his family are coming out to meet the people of wherever, and they see him in a wheelchair, and they'll know the price that Americans pay so that we can be free. And if we're not free, you can rest assured the rest of the world won't be free. If you don't believe that, get on the tour bus to Boko Haram country. So Daryl Lees is worth $355 million. And the next guy is Michael McCall. He's from Texas. And he's worth $117 million. And the next guy is... They have an arrow, and if you click it, it goes to a commercial. Nasty bastards. This is all Zuckerman's fault. This guy's name is Delaney. And I don't know what happened to him here. If we come out of here, that's not going to help. And they're not letting me do it. They're not letting me do it, mommy. Okay, I've been hijacked. Too many pop-ups. I hate pop-ups. I'm going to give you a little Frank Sinatra. We just passed his birthday. And there's a guy in Brazil. He loves Frank Sinatra. And we'll say a little prayer for him because he's got a lethal disease. And he's lost interest in listening. He used to listen to Frank Sinatra all day long. So let's hope that he rekindles his love of Frank Sinatra.
I have dreamed that your arms are lovely, and I have dreamed what a joy you'll be. I have dreamed every word you whisper when the glow of evening. I have dreamed and enjoyed the view in these dreams. I've loved you so that by now I think I know what it's like to be loved by you. I will love being loved by you. In these dreams I
So the third richest man, his name is John Delaney. He's from Maryland. He's worth $112 million. Next guy is Jay Rockefeller. He's from Virginia, or West Virginia. He's worth $108 million. Mark Warner, Democrat from Virginia. Rockefeller's a Democrat. Mark Warner's $95 million. The next one is Jared Polis. He's a Democrat from Colorado. He's worth $74 million. And we said Daryl Issa. So I guess that's the whole list. Okay, what else were we talking about? I heard Savage today, and he was talking about, he's an expert on everything, and he was talking about his expertise with the Bible, and he told his audience that Christmas wasn't created until the 10th century. And I said, that can't be right. And he went into that the Christians were in competition with the Druids. So I did a little research, and it appears that at the time of the Emperor Constantine, that's when Christmas was finally named Christmas. And that was about 300 A.D. or 330 A.D. But a lot of people don't know that Santa Claus is really copied from Old Saint Nick. And Old Saint Nick is Saint Nicholas. And Saint Nicholas was, I think, a bishop from Turkey. Here it is. Who was Saint Nicholas? He was born in the 3rd century in the village of Patara. The true story of Santa Claus begins with Nicholas, who was born in the 3rd century. At the time, the area was Greek and is now on the southern coast of Turkey. Christianity had a great hold on Turkey, and we lost it all. When they say they're going to the Blue Mosque, that used to be the Cathedral of St. Sophia. He had wealthy parents, and they raised him to be a devout Christian. He died in an epidemic. While Nicholas was still young, obeying Jesus' words to sell what you own and give the money to the poor, Nicholas used his whole inheritance to assist the needy, the sick, and the suffering. He dedicated his life to serving God and was made Bishop of Myra. And he became known throughout the land for his generosity to those in need, his love for children, and his concern for sailors and ships. Under the Roman Emperor Diocletian, who ruthlessly persecuted Christians, he was a bishop. Bishop Nicholas suffered for his faith, was exiled and imprisoned. The prisons were so full of bishops, priests, and deacons, there was no room for real murderers, thieves, and robbers. After his release, Nicholas attended the Council of Nicaea in AD 325. Do you know what the Council of Nicaea was? That's when they created the Apostles' Creed. They called, there's two creeds that are the statements of the faith of the Catholic people. One is called the Apostles' Creed, and the other one is called the Nicene Creed. And the Nicaea was in Turkey. Nicaea is no more, because when the Muslims came, they gave the people of Nicaea an opportunity to convert or die. And they chose to die rather than give up their faith. And after they were eliminated, their church, their cathedral, was turned into a stable for horses, and the name of the town was changed from Nicaea to something else. Maybe it'll tell me when I read the rest of this story. But One thing is very funny. If you ever watch the Crucifixion, and Pontius Pilate sentences Jesus to death, and his wife says, "Have nothing to do with this man. I had a bad dream last night. Have nothing to do with this man." So Pontius Pilate washed his hands and turned Jesus over to the Jewish priests for his execution, but they used the Romans to execute him. But Pontius Pilate, which is really ironic. Now, you're going back to the time of Jesus, right? Jesus was 33 years old when he died, so that's 33 A.D. Pontius Pilate, when his wife said, "Have nothing to do with this man," and they were taking Jesus away to be crucified, he turned to his wife, and guess what he said? 2 weeks, no one will remember his name. And who were the two names that get repeated during the reading of the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed every Sunday or every Mass is Pontius Pilate and Jesus Christ. So Pontius Pilate was off. Unbelievable. So he died in AD 343 and he's buried in his cathedral church, where a unique relic called manna formed in his grave. This liquid substance, said to have healing powers, fostered the growth of devotion to Nicholas. I think there's a story about him. Yes, here it is. One story tells of a poor man with three daughters. In those days, a young woman's father had to offer prospective husbands something of a value, a dowry. The larger the dowry, the better the chance that a young woman would find a good husband. Without a dowry, a woman was unlikely to marry. That's terrible. This poor man's daughters, without dowries, were therefore destined to be sold into slavery. See, nothing's changed. Tossed through an open window, mysteriously, on three different occasions. A bag of gold appeared in their home, provided the needed dowries. The bags of gold tossed through an open window are said to have landed, this is very interesting, in stockings or shoes left before the fire to dry. This led to the custom of children hanging stockings or putting out shoes, eagerly awaiting gifts from St. Nicholas. Sometimes the story is told with gold balls instead of bags of gold. That is why three gold balls, sometimes represented as oranges, are one of the symbols of St. Nicholas. And here's one of the oldest stories showing St. Nicholas as a protector of children, takes place long after his death. The people of Myra were celebrating the good saint on the eve of his feast day when a band of Arab pirates from Crete came into the district. They stole treasures from the church of St. Nicholas to take away as booty. As they were leaving town, they snatched a young boy, Basilios, to make into a slave. The emir or ruler selected Basilios to be his personal cupbearer. As not knowing the language, Basilius would not understand what the king said to those around him. So for the next year, Basilius waited on the king, bringing his wine in a beautiful golden cup. For Basilius' parents, devastated at the loss of their only child, the year passed slowly. Filled with grief, as the next St. Nicholas feast day approached, Basilio's mother would not join in the festivities, as it is now a day of tragedy. However, she was persuaded to have a simple observance at home, with quiet prayers for Basilio's safekeeping. Meanwhile, as Basilios was fulfilling his tasks, serving the emir, he was suddenly whisked up and away. St. Nicholas appeared to the terrified boy, blessed him, and set him down in his home back in Myra. Imagine the joy and wonderment where Basilios amazingly appeared before his parents, still holding the king's golden cup. And that's the first story of St. Nicholas defending children. So, they got other stories. But anyway, of course, we don't believe that today because we're smarter than God. That's why we took down the Ten Commandments, because we don't want him to know what we're doing. I'll give you a little Frankie Lane talking about a woman in love.
Your eyes are the eyes of a woman in love. And oh, how they give you away. Why try to deny you're a woman in love, when I know very well what they say. Something deep within made them shine. Those eyes are the eyes of a woman in love, and may they gaze evermore into mine, crazily gaze evermore into mine.
Okay, reading a little more about St. Nicholas, I got to tell you that I grew up in Washington Heights, New York, and I lived between St. Nicholas Avenue and Wadsworth Avenue. So there's an avenue in New York named after St. Nicholas. Try and get a saint's name on an avenue today. See what happens. The ACLU will be there, separation of church and I call it church and snake. You ever see the picture painted by John Trumbull? It's the Declaration of Independence, and everybody is all of the participants are all sitting, and there's like three or four guys petitioning Thomas Jefferson, who's sitting at a desk. And I put a caption underneath. I said, "Tom, you made a quillo. You know, if you make an error, it's a typo." Back then, they only had plumes to write with. He said, "Tom, you made a quillo." It's supposed to be separation of church and snake. Yeah. So, several stories. Let's see if I'm reading the right one. Other stories tell of Nicholas saving his people from famine, sparing the lives of those innocently accused, and much more. He did many kinds and generous deeds in secret, thinking nothing in return. Within a century of his death, he was celebrated as a saint. Today, he is venerated in the East as wonder or miracle worker, and in the West as patron of the great variety of persons, children, mariners, bankers, pawnbrokers, scholars, orphans, laborers, travelers, merchants, judges, paupers, paupers, marriageable maidens, students, children, sailors, victims of judicial mistakes. Boy, you know who they should, he should be the patron saint of the Fort Leavenworth 10, because there's 10 families that have been sentenced to 15 to 20 years of shame and poverty because their husbands were on the battlefield and they fired first. And nobody is championing their cause, championing their cause. So it is sad. And that's what Obama has brought to our country. He has brought shame on our country. He has brought division. I have never heard a president cursed by people in public more than this traitor. And that's what he is. He's a traitor. And I'll tell you something. It's really sad. But I don't blame the fact that he's African-American, because he's only half African-American. I blame his evil white part. So St. Nicholas is a patron saint of victims of judicial mistakes, captives, perfumers. I'll tell you one story about a guy that's rotting away in Fort Leavenworth. I think he's got two daughters. His name is Evan Vela. And, of course, a lot of guys join the military because they need the income, too. And they can raise a family, and they got benefits. They buy cheaper at the PX, which Obama tried to stop. So Obama is a very dangerous man. And the people that are pulling his strings are 10 times more dangerous. I'm digressing, but I got to tell you this. Israel had planned to take out the Iranian nukes. And they made an agreement with the government of Azerbaijan, which is on the other side of Iran. And the agreement was that as the Israeli bombers took out the nuke sites, they could land in Azerbaijan and refuel and return home, or maybe rearm and refuel and complete the mission on the way back home. Our intelligence knew about it, so Obama knew about it, and Obama told the Iranians. This betrayal of the American people didn't just start with the final conclusion of the Iranian agreement, where they now can build nukes to destroy us and Israel. Obama has sold out this country. He has no love for this country. He has no love for this country's religion. And the sad part is he cannot do this alone. He has the complete cooperation of what I call the party of death. So when he told the Iranians that the Azerbaijanis had an agreement with Israel, the Iranians went and put pressure on the Azerbaijanis. You can imagine what they told them. And they withdrew their pledge to allow Israel to refuel. So Obama uses our own intelligence against us. Nobody else would do that. If you knew that was going on, you'd keep your mouth shut. So, sailors claiming... Oh, I started to talk about... What did I digress from? Oh, Evan Vela. Evan Vela is rotting away in Fort Leavenworth. And here's the Evan Vela story, as best as I can recall. Evan Vela was part of a 3-man sniper team that was assigned to the outskirts of a village where a known Al-Qaeda leader was believed to be hiding. So they had set up a concealed area waiting to take a shot at this Al-Qaeda leader. And a villager came close
Evan Baylor was a sergeant at the time, I think. A villager came close, and the captain, I believe, or the leader of the hit team, jumped him and ordered Baylor to shoot him in the head. And Baylor shot him in the head. After the mission was aborted, all three were arrested, and the village people pressed charges against all three. So they wanted to charge him in an Iraqi court. And the U.S. Army, I believe, yeah, it wasn't Marines, U.S. Army said, no, you can't do that. And we're going to send two of them home, and you could charge one in an Iraqi court. And they left Vela to face charges in an Iraqi court that was occupied by U.S. military officers. It's believed that the U.S. military officers that sat in judgment did not have combat experience. So the two others were tried in, I think, Fort Bragg, and they were found not guilty. Evan Baylor was found guilty and sentenced to 15 to 20 years in prison. Totally unfair, but you've got the influence of Obama and his jihad lynch mob. And so, therefore, Evan Baylor didn't have a Pope's chance in hell. And he was sent to Fort Leavenworth to do 15 to 20 years. Now, what's a wife to do? She's got two kids. I think they're two little girls. She's lost all income. Her husband's in jail. She's lost all her benefits from when he was in the military. Now she's got to go out and start over again and financially help her family get on their feet. So Evan Baylor got 15 to 20 years in prison, and so did his wife and two kids. They were living in Alaska. She had to sell her home in Alaska. You can imagine what kind of home, right? You think she had a palace? Sold her home so that they could move to Fort Leavenworth to be closer to Evan Baylor so she could hold the kids up and he could see them through the bars. Oh, they have visiting rights. It's wonderful. There are 10 families that are suffering in Fort Leavenworth the same fate. And nobody gives two Shiites about it. So, just remember that, because one day we're all going to be called to pay our debts to the big banger. And he's going to say, how come nobody helped Evan Baylor and his family? It is really sad. So, sailors claiming St. Nicholas's patron carried stories of his favor and protection far and wide. And that's how Christianity spread, as compared to Islam, which was spread by the sword. I'm going to give you an anti-drug tune.
Couldn't take punishment and had to settle down.
Okay, I've been working out every day. Okay, we're back to St. Nicholas. Just want to show you. St. Nicholas chapels were built in many seaports. As his popularity spread through the Middle Ages, he became the patron saint of Apulia, Italy, Sicily, Greece, and Lorraine in France, and many cities in Germany, Austria, Switzerland, Italy, Russia, Belgium, and the Netherlands. And they got a list. Following his baptism, Grand Prince Vladimir I brought St. Nicholas stories and devotion to St. Nicholas to his homeland, where Nicholas became the most beloved saint. Nicholas was so widely revered that thousands of churches were named for him, including 300 in Belgium, 34 in Rome, 23 in the Netherlands, and more than 400 in England. So how do you like that? That's it. So let's check out and see what else is going on. See what the bloggers are saying. Now you know a little bit about Santa Claus. It's really St. Nicholas of, what was it, Myrna? Let's see if we got anything here. CBS Muslim Focus Group. Did you hear about this one? Let's see if I can tell it to you. A Muslim focus group says don't let children watch the hateful GOP debates. No, let them watch Memory TV, all the beheadings that are taking place in the hateful Middle East. It's terrible, isn't it? You think you got a country and there's people that just got here telling you how to run it. I feel sorry for Europe. England. You know what the population of England is? 60 million people. France, 60 million. Germany, 80 million. Ireland, 5 million. So why do I say that? Because there's a million Muslims going into Europe this week. Eventually, Europe will be overrun. And we will see exiles coming here asking for political asylum. And they'll be French, British, Belgians. Italians, Germans, they're all going to be coming here for political asylum after they get driven out of their homeland. You never can tell, man. Oh, did you see this one? I got to tell you this one. You know the controversy with Starbucks. Starbucks had a situation where they started writing race on their coffee cups, and they were told to talk about people. Talk about race to the customers. And the customer said, you better knock that off. I came here for a cup of coffee. Well, there's OAN, One American News, and they do an ad with a Starbucks-like cup, and it says, Merry Christmas. And the guy says, you better take Christ out of there because it's controversial. And he said, put an X instead. Then he says, you better take the X out of there because people will still think it's Christ. You know what? Take everything off of there. We'll just have a red cup. So I got an email today, and there's a cartoon. And it's a Starbucks cup, and it's red. And coming from the opening of the mouth of the cup is a great light. And the cup has got a little door peeled back in it, and there's a nativity scene. So I put this caption: "Blessed are the coffee drinkers, for they shall see God." And then the second caption I put was, "And there was no room for them," you know, with the nativity scene, "no room for them at Starbucks." Unbelievable. And then I did a fact check about how votes are counted in the United States. And I came across a picture of Stalin casting his vote. And it says, "It's not who votes that counts, it's who counts the votes." And then I got a picture of Hillary, you know, the famous one, "Who cares how they died?" It's terrible, isn't it? And I heard a talk show host today accusing Trump of using a lot of innuendo. So I'm going to give you a tune. It's called Sinuendo. They're saying that Sharia law is very tough in France, and that Burger King has 400 locations in Muslim neighborhoods, and therefore they've been ordered by a Sharia law to do away with pork and chicken. I don't know why they're doing away with chicken, because I've been in Kuwait, and they have their chickens right there in the house. As a matter of fact, I was in a car wash, a giant car wash, where they wash the cars by hand. And they do like 40 cars at a time. And the owner took me up to a rooftop to show me what the Iraqis had done. And he had a chicken coop on the rooftop. And inside the chicken coop were pictures of Iraqis and wallets, empty wallets. You know, they had the wallets taken and the money removed, and they threw the wallets away. And the chicken coop was full of them. so. Oh, my God. They're, you know, we joked when they said, you know, if a Muslim, a good Muslim, commits martyrdom, he gets 72 virgins. And they said, well, what do the women get who commit martyrdom? And we all joked about it. And Palestinian Jordanian cleric Sheikh Mashour bin Hassan al-Salaman has claimed, Muhammad said female suicide bombers receive a man with a penis that never bends. Isn't that wonderful? You know, something to look forward to. But she cannot have multiple men taking turns with her. Yeah, what a thrill. What a thrill. I have a little different theory. I have a theory that when the jihadi blows himself up and he appears before God, God says, what are you here for? And he says, I blew myself up. He says, I didn't tell you to blow yourself up. I had you scheduled to live till you were 78. Now, what are you here for? He says, I'm here for the 72 virgins. He said, 72 virgins? What are you going to do with 72 virgins? You blew your thing off. Unbelievable. Oh, here's a nice tune.
Somewhere
almost finished. We're out of time. I want to go out with a nice tune for you. See if I can find the U.S. Marine Corps hymn. I'll tell you, one outfit that did that instilled pride in Americans was the U.S. Marine Corps. Till the day they die, they are Marines. It is unbelievable how much a pride they have. Sergeant, sound bukes. Sergeant, sound boots and saddles. Show, folks. Have a nice night. God keep you safe.